Welcome, everybody. Welcome, High Point Church. Today is an awesome day in the Lord, and what a wonderful day to be getting in the Word. Thank you for joining our Facebook Live from High Point Church. We know there's a situation in the world right now. We're aware of what everybody is going through right now. So in compensation for that, we're going to be doing Facebook Live. So all of you that are at home watching us right now, I just say God bless you for being obedient to the authorities around you, and God bless you for still being in the Word and worshiping and honoring the Lord. Welcome. Well, today I want to be talking about two things. I've noticed that people here and people on television and on YouTube and all around have been talking about the coronavirus. So it's no surprise that we might be talking about it a little bit too. I'm not really going to be talking about it in the way that it's dangerous and be careful and all of that. What I do want to be talking about is this. What the devil means for harm, we can turn around by the Spirit of God and use it for our good. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to do a couple of things. One, to build our faith. This is a great time for us to be in the Bible. This is a great time for us to pray in our spiritual language. This is a great time for us to meditate on the Word of God. And this is a great time to see what we really believe in our hearts. Because if you are not affected by the virus, then you are good ground for building up a huge resistance against the possibility of you ever getting it. And I think this is a great, great opportunity for the kingdom of God and those that are in the kingdom of God. Do you agree? So let's get a couple of verses out in the Bible, and I want to just share with you some practical tips on the way God looks at this and what we can be doing to prepare ourselves at this time in our lives. So if you got a Bible, would you grab it? And we have somebody that's going to be putting verses up behind me on the screen, so you'll be able to look on the screen and see those verses. And I should probably tell you, I'm Pastor Robert Stumpf of High Point Church. I don't think I've shared that with you yet. I'm the associate pastor here. Pastor Trey is our senior pastor, and I am bringing the word today for Healing School. And I want to say something to you concerning Healing School. We're available on Thursday mornings from 10:30 to between 11:30 and 12, and we pray for people in our community. If you are watching this and you're close to the Macon, Georgia area, I encourage you to come on Thursday mornings. Hear the word, get your faith built up, and be ministered to and prayed for with people that can actually come in true agreement with you in the word of God. Amen? So, you're invited to come on Thursday mornings, also Sundays, but wait a month or so, would you? Just saying. You know, I'm the first person to say that they're blowing this out of proportion. But I do also want to let you say, there is wisdom in following these guidelines and these rules that are here. As we're going to share with the Word of God today, that you and I can be walking in faith. But do you know there's other people that aren't actually in faith? They're hoping and they're wishing that the Word of God is working in their lives, but they're not fully convinced in their own mind. And because of that, if you are in faith and you are living your faith that no weapon formed against me can prosper, that every judgment that rises up against me, I condemn it. That's my inheritance as a servant of the Lord. If you are claiming that, God bless you for that. But there are people that don't have the same faith you may have. And if they see your example of going out in public and not taking care of yourself hygienically the way that they're instructing us to do, and if you're not doing those things and still like, well, I'm going to do what I want, bless God, I'm led by the Spirit and not by these guys' fear. If somebody else is watching you and their faith isn't where yours is, you're opening the door for them to fall. You're opening the door for them. So I encourage you, don't do that. Stand in faith, take your time, grow yourself, get strong, but also be a good example to the rest of the community around you so that we don't participate in spreading this thing around. Because I want to let you know, it's a virus, it's real, it's going to make its way through the public. It's just going to. So let's spread out as much as we can so that it dies out in little pockets, that runs its course in their life, and we don't overload the hospitals and stuff so there's enough respirators for the people around, okay? That's just simple wisdom. So now, let's go into the Bible. If you have your Bible, I want to talk about us being able to actually get the results that we're looking for in the Word of God. And as you know, Jesus was talking about parables. And a parable is something that is comparable. In other words, para, alongside, and a bull, like a fable or a story. So what he did was he used parables. He used a story that people can understand to associate with something they cannot understand or perceive as true. So what they do is they can take the truth they know of the story that they're hearing and overlay that truth or that example on top of the new information so that they, without actual knowledge yet, can understand how it works and operates until it starts working in their life, and then they don't need the parable anymore because they have a working example of it. Does that make sense? So Jesus used parables in the Bible because if he told you openly, you might not understand what he's talking about because you have no frame of reference. Let me give a little example. My wife is getting a degree. She's getting another degree. And as she did, she had to take some real high-end math, what we call high-end math, okay? Adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing is math in my book. But this stuff is way different. It's about data and standard deviations and the correlation of information and data points. And so it's different kind of math. And she needed help, so I was volunteering to help my wife learn this math. Well, I want to let you know, we had absolutely zero frame of reference for what they were talking about. They were talking about standard deviations. What is a standard deviation? Is that different than a non-standard deviation? And sample populations versus the full population. And outliers. What are outliers? That's all information that's important in this kind of math. And they use that vocabulary, and there's no picture in my brain or heart that can put that together and understand what it is. So what they do is they break it down in little portions and they give other examples so that my heart and mind can start understanding this new kind of math and how it operates. And a little piece here and a little piece there, and then they test us on it and we get answers to it, and then we go to the next part and they build on these little pieces of information that eventually creates a whole that I absolutely understand. And now I can say, wow, this is great math, because now I know how really useful it is for sorting any kind of data that you want to sort. It's great. But before, it didn't mean anything to me, and there was no way I could utilize it. And because I understand this math now, I'm increased. I have enlarged on the inside of who I am. So Jesus knew this is how it works for people. When we don't have any place, no structure or framework to hang information on, it has to be created by an association. So Jesus used parables. So I'm going to talk about some of these parables that he used, because I think that at times I have been guilty of kind of being nonchalant about the way that I read my Bible. Can anybody else relate? Have you read your Bible and it's just words and you did it, you did your time, you put it in, and you actually applied yourself, but it really didn't go too deep in my mind and heart? And within a couple of hours, I wasn't even thinking about it anymore. It was like my routine in the morning, and now I'm off to my rest of my day. Jesus was talking about the ground of our hearts. And when he was doing that, he was talking in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And he was using the parable of the sower. and how he sowed seed. Jesus gave the example that our heart is the ground, and the word or words are the seeds that are being sown in the ground. And he was talking about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God operates. But since you can't see the kingdom of God with your natural eyeballs, you have to be able to see it with your inner person. And your inner person has to be able to, like we said, be able to put it all together to understand. So Jesus used these parables of sowing seed in four different kinds of ground. And when he did that, it started to make sense to people. But he qualified this one parable in this statement in verse 13, and let me read it to you. It says in verse 13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So what he's saying here is, this is the base rudimentary parable that I've got to give to you so that when you understand how this one works, you can lay all the other parables in this format, and you can use this format for everything else I'm going to tell you in the future. Does that make sense? So he's talking about four kinds of ground, and I'm just going to give you the story of it. There's four kinds of grounds, and that he was the sower of the word. He's telling them about the kingdom of God, that there is a very real devil who does not want you to understand it, and that you have a mind and a heart yourself. And the way that you hear what's being told to you and the seriousness that you take what you hear and you hold it in your life, in your personage, the seriousness of that will determine how big it is in your life or the magnitude of it manifesting in your life. So the first ground was the road. It was the wayside. It was hard ground. You ever tried to grow seed on top of concrete? Unless it finds a crack, it's not happening. The birds are going to eat it. It's the same way on the roadway where they have lots of people walking all the time and lots of traffic on the paths. Good things can't grow on the path where people are walking. They trample it. It's just not a valuable place to put it. There's a lot of people that hear things in the Bible and they say this, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah." It has no depth in them yet. They've heard the information, they've recorded it in their minds, but it has no value to bring the real, actual kingdom of God into their natural lives, to where they are operating from the kingdom of God in their natural life yet. They don't know how to overlay the two into one life. They just say, "Oh yeah, yeah, I've heard that before." There's another group of people, and this is what they call the stony ground. And the stony ground people, they're people who, they heard it, they're sitting in church, maybe it's some of you guys right here, I hope not, but maybe, to where you hear it and it makes sense and I'm going to tell you the truth and you go, "Oh yeah, that's the truth, that's exciting." But come lunchtime, after you read the menu, you forget whatever we talked about this morning. It just has no staying place in you, because when the heat of the moment comes up, it's not really there for you to draw from, to utilize as your real life, like this. Like maybe say, "Oh, by his stripes I was healed," or "No weapon formed against me can prosper. That's my inheritance as a servant of the Lord." You can say those things, but then when somebody goes, "I've got the coronavirus," what's the very first thing that comes to your mind? Is it, "That won't touch me in Jesus' name"? Or is it, "What are you thinking being out in public right now?" And you go spitting and a washing and a cleaning and a... Where's your heart really at in that moment? What do you really own? And the people that can say, "Yeah, yeah," quickly, when the real serious thing comes, that actually is not the first thing that pops out of their heart or mind. The third group of people are people who actually believe the Word of God. They're getting some results in their life because it really is truth to them and they really do believe it. But the difference is that they have very busy lives It's the deceitfulness of riches. They need to make money, and money talks, and that's just the way it is. And I've got responsibilities, and I've got a busy schedule, and I got to keep to it, and I got other things I need to think about right now. And what happens is their fruit that they do bear, it doesn't really create a real harvest and manifest fully in their lives because they have so many distractions and their attention is still dominantly in this natural world for the way that they get results and they produce in their life. So the chances are that this is the largest group of people and you might be in that group. That's why a praise the Lord that we are self-isolating, that we are hanging around family, and that we're not so busy with so many things occupying our time right now. See, we can turn this around and look at it as a good thing that right now you can take the time and go, what do I really believe in my heart? And if you're that third ground, now's a great chance for you to become the fourth kind of ground. And that kind of ground is ground that has already been prepared. It's already been plowed up. It has the weeds and the rocks removed out of it. And it's good, pure soil ready to receive great seed. That could be you right now. You can be removing the things that have been making it so you're not the perfect ground. Now again, we're talking about the way that you hear, the way that you let this word of God go down into your heart as the truth, all right? Because James says in James 1, and let me just turn there real quick to you. In James chapter 1, he talks about this. And James is saying, I'm almost there. There we are. This is what James is saying in James chapter 1. In verse 21, I'm going to say. Now, these words sound really bad, and they are, and I'm not putting you in the category of these terrible words. But I am trying to overlay and look at it as far as your heart is concerned and the depth that this goes into your heart. And it says this in James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So the only this word that is in you, you're able to operate from. Only this. Go back with me back to where we were just at when we're talking about the sower and the word. Look at what it says here. In Mark chapter 4, I'm going to go in verse 21. So after Jesus talked about the parable of the sower and being able to hear and having a good and noble heart where you can really receive the word of God and it can take root and start actually producing some 30, 60, and 100-fold in your life, then he went on to say this to them in verse 24 of Mark chapter 4. And he says, and then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Verse 25, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And then he went on to the next parable. What Jesus is saying is like the exact same template as in Matthew 7, where he says, judge not lest you be judged, for the same measure that you use when you're judging another person, that same measure is going to be measured back to you. So if you judge somebody as being ugly, you better be careful. You got a little bit of ugly coming your way down the road. It's going to happen. So you got to be careful on how you are labeling, how you are deciding what is true, and you need to be careful of that. Because the measure of thought and study, as it says in the Amplified, that you give to the truth that you hear is going to be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So, in other words, the seriousness that you take what you read in the Word of God as being the truth and how you hold it and ponder it and how you decide about it and how you glean from it and own it as reality is going to be the measure that you receive from that Word of God. And in the reverse, but using the same template, if you judge another person in Matthew 7, 1 and 2, and you judge another person as being evil or ugly or poor or whatever you want to say about them, they're different than you somehow, and you stand on an opposite side than them and you've judged them, that same judgment that you use with the same amount of force and energy and vigor that you use with them, it's going to be turned around and bounced right back on you. Now, I can't use too many personal examples on this because my family may be watching right now and I don't have their permission to share these stories. But I'll share you one story. My mom, she had to give up six kids. She had six kids and she had to give them up through a divorce and a set of circumstances. And she lost her six kids. Time goes on. She remarries. And she has other children. Her other children hated her because she lost her first six kids, her other brothers and sisters. That young woman who judged her mom because she lost her kids had six kids. This is my half-sister. And lost all six of her kids. She judged my mother, and it turned around and happened to her. Different circumstances, same outcome. So when we take the Word of God, we don't use it, craftily, like it says in 2 Corinthians 4. We don't do that. We use it with wisdom, and we understand that with the measure that we use, it's going to be measured back to us. So when it comes to believing this Bible, we need to really, really lay hold of it. Look at the next parable in verse 26 of chapter 4 of Mark. And he said, "The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Where do we decide the ground was? Our hearts. What do we decide seed was? Words. Does it say an angel scattered the seed? No, it says a man scattered the seed. So this man spoke a whole bunch of words, okay? "And should sleep by night and rise by day, and seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields a crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Let's look at this parable for a minute. So, after Jesus is telling us the measure of thought and study, how much we put value on the words that we hear, that we read in the Bible, or that other godly people tell us, which are words from the Bible, that word that we get, we're going to get lots of words in our lives, and we don't know what makes them grow, but we do know this: they stick and they grow. And we have to be careful of the words that we speak, whether they're in faith or they're in fear. Because whether they're in faith or fear, they're going to produce, because seeds grow. They just do. And you can be spending this time now putting in your heart the words coming out of your mouth that you're reading in the Bible, and you can be putting those words in your heart and watching them grow over time. First the blade, then the stalk, and then the fruit. There's time that takes place with those seeds. But I want to tell you something. Seeds surely grow. And we have a time right now where we're being separated, and we have time to put the Word of God in our hearts and start to let it grow while we're not distracted, being busy about many things. Amen? So, would you go with me back over to James? I want to show you something in James. Because, again, it's the measure of thought and study that we give to the words, the truth that we hear. It's how much are you really putting stock in what you hear or what you read in the Bible? How deep does it really go? Have you really decided that it's true yet? In James, I want to read verse, I might as well just continue off of what we did before, okay? So, here it is. I talked about the implanted word, so let's go to verse 22 in James 1. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Do I even need to comment on that? I think I don't. I think that explains itself. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. That sounds like somebody who isn't the best ground. It hasn't really sunk in yet who we are in Christ. That when we became born again and we became in Christ, our old man has passed away. And we live by an entirely different set of rules right now. If I remember right, in Romans chapter 8, it talks about two kinds of laws. The law of the spirit and the law of death. So we got the law of life and the law of death. And we can either walk according to the spirit or walk according to condemnation and the law of the flesh. And if we walk according to the law of the flesh, we in condemnation and will die. If we walk according to the law of the spirit, we have life and we live. There's two laws, and the law of the spirit supersedes the law of the flesh. In other words, the natural rules. Listen, there are natural rules in place, and we need to follow these natural rules because this virus is a virus of the flesh, okay? So when it comes to the flesh, we need to do these natural rules. But you are no longer merely flesh and blood. You are heavenly and divine also. So what happens is the law of the spirit supersedes the law of the flesh. And by your spirit, you can have be impervious to receiving this virus. By continuing in the word, by working with your ground of your heart, by getting it settled in your soul that you are healed, that you have the Spirit of God, that you are complete, that you have everlasting life. And when that happens, then the law of the Spirit takes over the law of the flesh. And now it's no longer that this virus is just hitting a natural flesh and blood body, but now it's coming in contact with the faith of the spiritual man. And when the faith of the spiritual man is activated, it supersedes the law of the virus and it counters the law of that virus and it cannot remain in your body. Amen? So look what it says in James. Let's go on a little further. And it says that, let's go in verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberties and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So if you get in there and you start getting this word in your heart and you start applying it to your life and you start believing God, you start rooting out things that are contrary to what the scripture says of the truth of who we are, you start rooting that stuff out and do that work to get that out, you will live a life that is blessed. However, in verse 26, it says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious, that's the good kind of religious. That's like church spiritual. It's not the bad kind of religious law. It's the good kind of religious. And does not bridle his tongue, but he deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. So our tongue, if we don't bridle what we say and what comes out of our mouth, we deceive our own hearts. And you see, that's a problem with a lot of people because they have, like James talks about, sweet water and salty water coming out of their same heart. We have faith in some areas and unbelief and fear in other areas. And what happens is when that sweet water is mingled with just a little bit of the salt water, it ruins the taste of the water, doesn't it? And so many people want to be in faith, believe the word is true, but they also have a tremendous amount of bad experiences, hurtfulness, and doubt in their hearts. And then what happens is that stuff comes in where their faith is at and voids their faith. This is what's so wonderful about your heart. It believes you. Isn't that wonderful? Your heart believes you because it's your heart and it believes what you say. And when your heart has been programmed for years in a certain way, it doesn't just all of a sudden believe you when you tell it something different. Even though it's in black and white and you would never transgress what God says, never openly do that. But what you might do is forget when you walk away because this word hasn't gotten really to that depth and solidness in your heart to be able to override the other things that have been in there. You see, the Holy Spirit can bring things to your attention. You can repent of them, renounce them, ask him what the truth is. He'll tell you and replace that information. But it's not till you actually acknowledge that stuff can he even begin to deal with it. So there's only two ways that you can get your heart to believe something different. Would you like to know what they are? I bet you would. There's only two ways, and that's this. Either by you teaching it through the way you feel, the way you think, and what you say, and do that over and over and over and over, and self-talk and tell yourself it's true and continue in it. Just like in the negative, it works in the positive. But at the very same time, that takes a while. You want to know another way that you can get it in there and change it quickly? This is my favorite way. It's this way. Get into the presence of God and let him show you who you are in him. When you can get into the presence of God and have an interaction with him through worshiping him, singing songs and hymns, humbling yourself and praying, opening up your heart and speaking the truth with him and talking to him about your life, and let him intervene with you. The Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, whomever it is that you're interacting with, by spending time with them, hearing them talk to you, that will change you from the inside out. Because the way we are groomed, the way people work, is simple. We model what we see. That's the way we're created. See, we were created to observe God and to be in the presence of God so that we'd be like him. When we see him as he is, we're like him. And so even in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, when we've turned to the Lord, when the blinders are removed from our eyes and we've turned to Christ, then we go from glory to glory from the Spirit of God. It's off of the Spirit of God. That's oppo. That's off of the Spirit of God. We're changed and transformed. So that's through being around and in the presence of the Spirit of God, we get changed. So if we would fellowship with the Holy Spirit, practice the presence of God, spend time with Jesus, spend time being in the presence and the glory of God, bringing an atmosphere of heaven around ourselves. And this is a great time when you're home to do that, to just create an environment around yourself that looks just like heaven, because you're worshiping, you're praising, you're praying for other people, you're speaking life, you're speaking faith, you're declaring and decreeing into the heavenlies the truth of the Word of God, and you start making a space around you and an environment around you that looks just like the throne room of God. And then in that presence of God, the truth is revealed to you. And when the truth is revealed to you, the lie is gone. It just does not exist anymore. It doesn't go in. It just is not. Just like darkness, when light comes to darkness, the darkness doesn't go somewhere else. I know the Bible says it flees, but where does it collect that? Where did it flee to? It didn't flee to. The law of light is greater than the law of darkness. Darkness is always present. When you take away the light, the darkness is there. But when you bring the light, the darkness doesn't go anywhere. The law of light overrides the law of darkness. And therefore, the light is all that you're aware of. And anything that blocks the light, when it gets in the way and hinders the light, then the darkness that's already there is revealed in what we call shadows. So those are degrees of darkness. So the law of life overrules the law of death, just like the law of light overrules the law of darkness. So when you and I start creating this atmosphere of the kingdom of God around us, the glory of God gets larger, the presence of God becomes more aware, that overrules this natural earthly atmosphere. And in those moments when you speak, you declare and you decree, your words have much more power and oomph behind them because you're focused in, because your attention is focused. And when your attention is focused, it is much more powerful. Look at light again. In the law of light, when we want to do a laser beam, you know what a laser beam is? It's just focused light. You can burn through stuff. I'm talking blue light. You can just get a little tiny LED blue light and burn stuff. Just a little teeny tiny one. Because that frequency of light, focused, can burn. There are waves, we know that, and they're divided out. And because they're spread out the way they are, we can see everything that we can see. And our words are the same way. Our words are spread out all over the place. We talk about all kinds of things. Our attention is in so many different areas with Facebook and YouTube, the internet, all these things that are going on in public, and all the ways that people are dealing in society with so many various things. Our attention is fragmented and spread out all over the place. Is it any wonder people don't experience the presence of God when their attention is so fragmented in so many places? But when a person will actually focus their attention and hone it in and specifically give their attention to God and the kingdom of God, like Colossians says in chapter 3, to set your mind on things above, not on the things on this earth. And when you really do start putting your attention in the presence of God and start worshiping and focusing on God and creating an atmosphere of the Lord, He is present in that. And at that time, when you talk to Him and when you see Him, you are changed. And little bit by little bit, that gets stronger and stronger and stronger in your life. Can I get an amen? Okay, in this room, that was a weak amen. I hope you guys amened better than that. The Lord deserved a bigger amen than that. Let's do it again. Amen! All right, that's much, much better. Praise the Lord. Okay, so how many of you have been wondering about this virus, is there a chance that you can get it? Yes, there is. There is a chance that you could get it. Is there a chance that it can come your way? Yes, there is a chance it can come your way. So you can either be in faith or in fear. You can do as I'm instructing you now, to get in the presence of God, to worship, to get into the Bible, and to get verses in the Bible like Psalms 91 and really break it down line by line, that you are really in the presence of God, you are overshadowed by His presence, and like in verse 10, that no plague will come near your dwelling. And you can start believing that. But you can believe that because you've nourished your heart. You've spoken life to your heart. You've cleared your mind of its concerns, and you've worked through those concerns. And so now you have a genuinely nourished heart that is able to believe those words are true. And then you can experience the truth of those words. Because remember what I said, the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So as you get in the presence of God and you really nourish your heart and let the Word of God be engrafted into you, that it supersedes your normal, rational, earthly intellect and overrides it with a wisdom that comes from God and a heavenly perspective, that the spirit of life will swallow up anything of death that's inside of you. When you groom that as reality, it will start becoming realer and realer to you. Remember my example of the math? At first, the Bible says that this stuff is foolishness. The spiritual stuff is foolishness to the natural mind. It's just foolishness. It doesn't make any sense. It's crazy. But to the spiritual man, it's life. To the spiritual man, it's liberty. It's real freedom. And so praise the Lord, we can walk in that liberty and in that freedom. Amen? Amen. Well, here at High Point Church, we've decided that we're going to do what the government says to do. We're going to follow the lead because we don't want to be an instigator of any possibility of, one, causing somebody to stumble, and two, by being, what's the wrong, I don't want to say stupid, especially when we're live. We don't want to be stupid. I'm not going to say that word. I'm going to try to think of something else. We're not going to fall short, all right? Oh, yeah, I did just say it, didn't I? Okay, apologize. I'm not meaning to be rude or anything. But we don't want to be the ones that go, you didn't close, and now you guys are the ones that helped spread that thing. So we don't want to be a part of that. We don't want to cause anybody to stumble. So that's why we're continuing to do those, these things right here. And I want to let you know something. One thing that has really helped me a lot, I want to share with you. Because we're all human. We all fall short in certain areas. All of us have some areas that we believe God really, really well, and in other areas we don't believe so well. And the thing is, where I'm blind, I don't realize I'm blind because I'm blind. I can't see. So because I'm blind and I can't see, I don't know that I'm blind and I can't see in most areas. So the Lord has done this wonderful, wonderful thing, and he has said that where two or more of us agree together, when we come into union and we collaborate together and we get focused and on the same intention, all of us together, and that we're crystal clear with one another as to what we're agreeing on, and we really are all pulling 100% together, though when we do that and we ask anything, the Father will do it by merely, listen to this. This is so cool. You got to get this. This is like the best part of the whole thing. He will do what we agree by the presence of God there with us. Let me get this straight into your heads. This is important. I had to learn this, and it took me a while to actually get it. I had to learn this, that it's not me saying, God, will you? And then there's some agency in heaven that has a big storehouse of things. And then that agency, like an angel or somebody, will be, God the Father will say, hey, such and such department, I want you to send down one unit of this or that for Robert Stumpf. He's believing me for that. And then some agency, some angel comes and brings that physical thing down to me, and it gets lodged in my body. That's not the way it works, okay? That's not how it works. God works it through our physical bodies, through his presence. His very presence brings our solution to us. That's why when we're in worship services together and everybody's worshiping together, the presence of God starts getting stronger in the room. People start getting healed and set free, and joy starts hitting them because the presence of God is so strong in the room, right? It's God's very presence that brings whatever it is we're requesting from him. So when two or three of us are together and we agree on something and we're unified, we, in the presence of God, when God's presence starts coming through us worshiping him together, whatever we ask for has been accomplished by the very presence of God himself. The Father does it. And it's not he delegates it out. He actually does it through his presence. That's why the presence of God is so important, that we're aware of God in everything that we're doing. You've heard the scripture that everything you do, whatever it is, do it as unto the Lord. That's being with him, present with him, for him, through him, by him. When we're doing it that way, we start getting these godly results in our life. And the more we do that, the more impervious we are to viruses, to any kind of sickness, to any kind of thing that the devil would wish to put onto us. And it really helps us to become a fortified fortress, that the guard of God being our rear guard and being our shield, that he becomes our shield and our guard, and we have a force field around us called the manifest presence of God. When we learn to groom that, when we stay in our Bible, when we have our scriptures and we just keep declaring our scriptures and start worshiping and praising the Lord, we start getting those kinds of results in our life. Amen? This is a great time. See, what the world wanted to do to get us all messed up and to get us all fearful and to get us all twisted all up and going out and buying all kinds of paper products. What the heck is that all about? I don't know. But he's got us out there buying all kinds of paper products and water as if there's going to be some kind of huge shutdown in the world, you know? I want to let you know something. That's fear-based. Use wisdom. Buy groceries, because you know what? With everybody panicking, guess what? There's a rush on products, and there does become an absence of products. And you will go without if you don't have food in your house. Those things will happen. Just like when the money and they had the rush on the banks when the big crash in the 1930s, when that rush came, your money got taken too, just like everybody else's. And so use wisdom when you go out, and use wisdom on how you spend and what you need to get, and don't be afraid. Go out and just thank the Lord for being with you. Thank the Lord for providing for you. Thank the Lord for opening doers. Like we said, when we're a doer of the word, the blessings of God are manifested on us. See, they're there all the time, but we're aware of them when we're blessing the Lord, when we're in his presence, when we're glorifying God and singing from the depths of our hearts and just having a melody in our hearts unto him, and we're living in the life of God, then of course you're going to experience the blessings. Of course you are. The other thing is to just keep putting this word in your heart. Just keep putting it in, keep putting it in, keep putting it in, keep speaking to yourself. You always are talking anyway. So in your heart, you're always saying something. So start speaking the word, speaking faith over yourself, talking to yourself, training yourself to believe the word over your natural senses. You let your senses tell you what's going on in the earth, but you let the Spirit of God and the Word of God tell you what the truth is in your situation. And let the Holy Spirit become more amplified in you so you hear the Lord give you directions more easily. As you do that, you can go shopping. You can drive your car out in public. You can do things because you've got all your ducks in a row. You have a relationship with God. You have the Word in you. You're standing in faith. You're blessed. And you're being led by the Spirit in whatever you do. That's the way to live. This is a perfect opportunity to practice without being at work, with having your family members home, with having things kind of slowed down a little bit, not being quite so social and so distracted by all these community events. Instead, the Lord Jesus is worth the time that you have left. He's worth it. Because I'll tell you what, throughout history, every time the people have been under pressure, it's when they've spiritually grown the most. See, in these hard times, when we hunker down, that's when things become serious to our hearts and our minds. They all of a sudden become times 10. And when they're more serious like that, the words and the thoughts, the beliefs that we have drive deeper into our heart because of the pressure that we're under. We have an incredible capacity to sort through the minutiae and get right down to what's important when the fear comes or the troubles come or the pressure comes. It's amazing how we're able to sort through all that and get lasered focus. So now's a great time to get laser focused on your relationship with the Lord. And piggybacking off of that, pray for people. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your family members. Pray for the wisdom of the government. Pray for the supermarkets. Pray for the gas station attendants. Pray for the people that are in the fast food industry that's in the drive-through windows that are humping it right now, trying to take care of people. The people that are in the grocery stores, stocking shelves like crazy. The truck drivers that still have to bring stuff. How about my favorite, Amazon. Amazon's even backed up. They can't do what they're supposed to, and all of us are being at home probably ordering all kinds of stuff like toilet paper. I don't know. But Amazon's even out of that stuff, my wife told me. So pray for these people and these systems. As you're in the presence of God, start blessing them, start giving them wisdom, start helping them to get free in the pressures that they're carrying. How about the moms or the dads that have to take care of their children because the schools are closed? You know, there's all kinds of things. How about the senior citizens that are in all these senior citizen homes that their children don't come and visit them anymore? What kind of troubles do you think they might be going through? I'm just saying, there's a lot of people that can benefit from you genuinely praying for them. You genuinely being concerned for others. Because when you are in the presence of God yourself, when you have this word built inside of you deeply, so you're rooted and grounded in it, and the blessings are on you and the favor is on you, and you have learned that seeds grow and your words are seeds and they will grow. And whatever ones you plant, you're either going to be justified by them or you're going to be condemned by them. So you can be justified and start really planting awesome seeds right now. Really planting some serious harvest that can start coming into fruition in the weeks and the months to come. Because no seed necessarily grows up quickly. Some seeds do, like, you know, what are those little alfalfa sprouts? They grow up pretty quick. But all you get is one little sprout out of that seed. How much is that going to satisfy you? But other crops that, like apple trees, peach trees, whatever, they have lots of fruit on them. They take much, much longer to get to the place to where they bear that large volume of fruit. So we have to plant all kinds of seeds that come up at various times in our life. We believe by faith for different kinds of supply along the way. The short-term supply, the mid-term supply, and the long-term supply. And as we start planting all of those things, eventually we have this inertia going forward that actually proves that the windows of heaven are opened and his blessing will come and absolutely overtake us. But it takes us using our words, believing from our heart, and spending time in the word and in the presence of God. Can I get another amen? Amen and amen. Well, you know, I just want to let you know that I love you. I want to let you know that Pastor Trey loves you, that all of us here at High Point Church, we love you, and we're really thankful that you've taken time to come online today. Some of you aren't watching it live, you're going to watch it later, but I want to let you know, this word is true, and it will bless you. The more familiar you are with it, the more it gets down in your heart, the more you're going to see results in your life. Amen? So I just want to say, stay in the word, stay in the presence of God, and love the people around you. Amen? Amen. Have a blessed day.